Sometimes, the best parts of festivals are the discussions that surround them, reflections on what we did and heard, anticipation of what's to come, and processing what it all means in relation to our spiritual work. We wanted to help either introduce you to that phenomenon or extend it for you. That's what this is about. I'm Reverend Jana Vende.
And I'm Reverend Michael J. Dane. We're priests of Arnriach Fane and members of Three Cranes Grove ADF in Columbus, Ohio. We're recording these sessions actually live in cars, actually going to festivals and events, so you will hear road noise, turn signals, and navigation prompts, but that's part of what makes it fun.
So, sit back and enjoy Druids
in cars
going to festivals.
On our way out to the 2018 ADF Trillium Spring Gathering, picking up where our last episode left off, we discussed the idea of spiritual patronage, what it is, what it looks like, what its benefits are, and how the relationship changes over time. So come take this journey with us and listen in as we head home from one of the classic ADF festivals.
So we've kind of alluded to a couple of times in our previous talks this idea of patronage, and we have these patron deities. And we wanted to kind of dig into what that actually means, because you hear people talk about my patron is whoever, and but what does that mean? What does that look like? So we kind of wanted to explore that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, patronage to me is a particular kind of experience or a particular kind of relationship where the relationship is built on a differential. So a patron is someone, if you think about a patron of the arts or a patron of a poet or something like that, you think about Roman patrons, that's where the word comes from. It's the idea of giving to someone what is beyond their means to give back to you in the same way. And so when I think about a patronage relationship, I do think about a power imbalance of some sort, where when I give, it is likely, and almost certain, in fact, to be less than what I receive back. And these are special relationships. They're hard to find and hard to really grasp. But there is, for example, my patron is Asus, Gaulish God, and there's no way for me to give to him what he has given to me. I can try, and I certainly do. I make offerings. I pray significant amounts of time. I light candles. I do all these things. I recently made an image of him, and all this work is devotional work. And, I mean, heck, even the work I do for the Grove is very, for me, it's a key part of that devotional work. But the things that I get back, that blessing, that that joy, is something that I can't measure in the same way. And I feel like what I give to him is not nearly as great as what he gives back to me. And that's okay, because the relationship that we've built is designed to be that way. He has a certain kind of love for the work that I do, and presumably for me as well. And that causes him to be generous to me in a way that I can't necessarily be to him.
Yeah, I a lot of times I kind of waffle back and forth. I use the term patron for my relationship with Poseidon, in large part because that's the accepted terminology within the pagan sphere. But when I think about it, for me, a lot of times I will call myself a devotee of Poseidon more than Poseidon is my patron, and it's a very thin line. Like, it's very semantic to kind of differentiate between those. But for me, rather than thinking about what he gives to me and placing that almost that not really ownership, but the direction that the relationship goes. Rather than focusing on what he gives to me, the devotee side of it is what I give to him without necessarily expecting anything in return. So when I consider myself a devotee, I'm not expecting him to give back to me. I am expecting to express my devotion of him as well as what I do receive. And a lot of times he turns it back into that patron relationship and he gives back to me. So it's this kind of back and forth where which direction is the relationship flowing more freely. So a lot of times I will consider myself more of a devotee rather than having a patron relationship.
Yeah. And I would say that too, when I think about my own patronage relationship, I'm not at all concerned about what I get back because I get back so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the kind of relationship where I've passed the idea of having goalposts entirely. You know, there's nobody keeping score. There's nobody doing anything that, you know, you might typically do in those sorts of situations.
Yeah, it's not transactional.
Exactly. It is not only not transactional, it's beyond the idea of transaction, because everything that I do is something that I do for him, and the work or the blessing that I receive back is just an intrinsic part of my life. It is something that I can rely on, that I can count on, that I never have to question. If I stopped doing all this stuff today, he would probably still look out for me. I'm not gonna. But it's very likely that, you know, there wouldn't be a change in that level of blessing even if I wasn't doing this necessarily for him. And I think that's kind of where it is. I think that's where that turns for me.
Yeah, do you have anything, like, when you talk about things that you get back from him, is there, like, a tangible thing? What does that look like?
I think what it looks like, and it's hard to describe because, like I said, it's kind of ongoing, it's kind of consistent, it's... When I look at it, I look at it as the sum total of the success in my life in a lot of ways. That's probably the best way to put it. The progression that I've had in my job, even the daily victories sometimes, the ways things change in my life that have worked out well, the fact that we were able to have kids, the fact that, you know, today I'm not deeply concerned about cash flow and things like that, all of that sort of stuff sort of flows into that notion of this is what my life looks like, and it's because of this relationship. It's because I have this patronage from this spirit that I'm able to do all of these things.
Yeah, for me, it tends to... A lot of what I feel like I get back, what my relationship looks like there, has to do more with the most tangible things seem to be those that I experience in relation to my spiritual work. I definitely feel like Poseidon has allowed me to deepen the trance work that I do, and I feel like he looks out for me and pushes my boundaries in that kind of work in a way that I enjoy. Like, I know it's going to be uncomfortable sometimes, but I also feel like in some way he knows where that line is for me and is able to push it right up to that line to help me move forward, and then the line changes and he's able to push further. But there's also this sense of when I talk about being lost in the maelstrom, and he's that rock at the center where all the water is swirling around you and there's all this chaos in your life, and he becomes that rock that kind of holds you centered and grounded. And so for me, it kind of like what you were saying, but it's the stability in my life that I feel like I get from him. And it's the ability to always know where my center is and my ability to stand against the storm of things that might happen. And I know that I can always turn back to him. So even if I'm going through a period of time where I may not be offering as much to him, I know that when I need to, he's going to be that spirit that picks up the phone at 3 a.m. for me. That he is there, he is my rock, and I can count on that relationship because we've built that give and take to the point where no one is keeping score.
It's interesting that you say he'll pick up the phone at 3 a.m. because in our last conversation, you mentioned that he can't call you at 3 a.m.
Right.
And that's, I think that's one of the key differences, when I talk about that power differential and things like that, I think that's one of those places where you have to set the boundary,
mm-hmm.
and he's willing to respect that, but he's also willing to be there for you more than
he can be there for him. He gives me more than I can possibly give back to him.
Yeah.
And that is the relationship that we have built and that we're comfortable in, and that we both get something out of.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of the key for patronage. And there are other kinds of relationships, and those relationships are perfectly fine. They can be powerful, they can be deep, and not everyone necessarily going to experience these things in the way that we do. So someone else's impression of patronage might be different, but those are kind of the, I think those are fairly key in the way that at least you and I experience.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out, too, that not everyone may have a patron, and that's perfectly okay. And just because you don't have one now doesn't mean you won't have one later.
Right.
And just because you have one now, it doesn't mean that that relationship won't dissipate.
Yep.
After
all, I've had one completely dissipate. I used to have a patronage relationship with Eris, the Greek goddess of chaos and discord. I was a full-scale Discordian for many years. And when I became a senior priest in ADF, we went our separate ways. It was amicable, and we just said, you know what? This isn't for us. You know, it's not for me. It's not for her. Every so often, we see each other in passing. We wave, and you know, occasionally we chit-chat, but it's not the same relationship that it once was, and that's okay,
yeah.
And actually kind of awesome.
I had a similar experience. Artemis used to be one of my, like, key patrons, and when I got married, having read the myths and seen what happens to people who get married without her permission, who are devotees to her, I wrote up a whole ritual and essentially said, look, I'm moving on in my life. Can we agree to be friends, essentially? And so I did this ritual where I kind of formally disconnected those ties and gave permission for both of us to end that relationship. And I still work with her, but it's in a very... The relationship is very different now. Rather than a patronage relationship, it has turned into more of a... occasionally she has work she needs to be done, and I am able to do that work. And it has become more transactional in nature than it ever used to be.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of different ways that patronage relationships can go, and I think that it's really important not to get stuck on the way you think it should go. And
absolutely.
To listen to the signals and listen to the signs and read your divination and, frankly, talk to other people sometimes when you have to have an understanding of what's going on and allow the experience to grow and change. Because if it gets brittle, it'll fall apart.
Right. And I think that it can be very interesting if you find someone who has the same patron as you. That it can be very interesting to talk to them about that relationship, because chances are they look very different.
Yes.
And it just goes to show that our deities have many, many facets, and we only see some of them, but that someone else may see completely different ones. In addition, it can also give you something else that you can approach that deity about, and maybe you will also begin to experience that kind of relationship with them.
Yeah, I think that is definitely true. Just because one person has patronage that looks like one thing does not mean that you will if you have the same patron. And I think that the real measuring stick is not how others interact. Really, it should never be how others interact. But how it makes you feel, how it helps you grow, how it helps you change. And how it impacts your life in a positive way. That's really the measuring stick for any relationship, and particularly a patronage relationship.
Mm-hmm. And I think you need to be open to this idea of UPG, of unverified personal gnosis, because I know when I think about Poseidon, the myths associated with him, it's surprising how much of that doesn't come up in our relationship. And I have the benefit of, you know, it being a Greek deity, and so there's a wealth of information out there. But that a lot of our relationship doesn't revolve around those things that happened. And it's become a very personal relationship. So it's not just, I'm not getting the bullet points of his existence. I'm getting the specifics that are unique to me and the way we interact with each other.
Getting the depths of the ocean, not the waves that hit the shore.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Well, I suppose this episode is brought to us by Bob Evans, though they're not actually sponsoring, because that's what we have found on our trip.
Like we do.
Like we do, and we're going to stop and have some food. So, thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and there's more to come.
We welcome your ideas and questions. If there's something that you'd like to hear us discuss in a future episode, please drop us a line at druidsincars@threecranes.org.
If you would like to donate, you can do so at threecranes.org/donate.
Druids in Cars Going to Festivals is a production of Three Cranes Grove ADF in Columbus, Ohio. Learn more about our grove at threecranes.org and more about Druidry at ADF.org.
As always, keep circulating the tapes and let us pray with a good fire.